Good morning, and welcome to this week's Public Affairs program. I'm Jay Zimmer in the newsroom. This week, activist Roberta Hyman paints a verbal picture of Evansville's Parks and Recreation.
The last time I spoke to this club, it was about the need for us to find alternatives to building bigger jails. Well, today I'm going to talk about the need for us to have some better parks and recreation programs, and I think those two things are more than a little related. This invitation for me to speak here came about as a result of an op-ed piece that I wrote in the Courier more than a year ago on this topic, and all that happened was I got a few phone calls and texts from people who said, "Right on, Roberta, we agree with you." And nothing happened until this invitation. So thank you for this opportunity for me to raise this issue again. And thank you to the mayor and her staff members for coming. I asked them to be here. I know they're not going to agree with everything I say, but they're... Basically, what I said was that it's time for us, the people of Evansville, to stop the complaining about our parks and do something about it. Let's stop supporting them. Let's start supporting them at the level that we should. And I'm not proposing a tax increase. I'm saying there are other ways to do it. And I hope to convince you that this is something we have to do for Evansville's future. What I'm going to say now is not politically correct or socially acceptable to say out loud, but the hard reality is that this city is not thriving. We still have the same size population we had more than a half century ago. Our numbers have not increased since the early 1960s. And today we're competing with other cities across this country for new employers and a 21st century workforce that can choose to live anywhere. Too few are choosing to live here. Our quality of place, defined in large part by our public places, our parks, are clearly not an attraction, and we need to do something about it. One thing we all can agree on, even if you don't agree with everything I say, is that we do have some good parks. Our new skate park is just one of the most fantastic things that's happened in this city for a long time. People are flocking down there, and it's right next to the Mickey's Kingdom Playground, which everybody loves, and they're right off the Greenway. And the combination of these three facilities, all available to the public free of charge, have made our downtown riverfront just an amazing attraction that any city would be proud of. And soon we're going to have the new pickleball facility at Wesselman Park. Now, controversy over its location aside, this is going to be one first-class place. Go see it if you haven't. And it's right next to the tennis courts at Wesselman, which at long last have been repaved. They look great. They're already in use. And right next to them is a big new accessible playground under construction. That Eastside Park is being transformed. Granted, there have been protests, and there have been people who felt they were unfairly left out of the decision-making process, but this must be said. Over the last 12 years, under the steady leadership of Lloyd Winneke, we have made the first major improvements in our park system in decades. The big problem is our existing parks have remained not taken care of. Garvin Park and its lake need major attention. I'm heartbroken over what's happening to that beautiful place. Claymeyer Park, Eagleheart Park, Moto Park all remain largely undeveloped, mostly undeveloped, after years, Anthony Oakes Park on the city south side is frankly a disgrace. There are parents who will not let their children play in some of our neighborhood parks because they don't look safe. We have some restrooms that look like places for derelicts to hang out. We need to fix it. Clearly, our understaffed and underfunded Parks and Recreation Department cannot do the job with the resources that we give it. Our property taxes are never going to be increased enough to do it. No city does it. So we have to find other ways, as other cities have. In the op-ed piece, I suggested several things that I think could help. They may not be the total solution, but establish a well-staffed Parks Foundation, nonprofit, that could work full-time to aggressively engage this community in supporting its parks and recreation programs. This foundation could, among other things, do major fundraising events, seek grants from the government and private agencies, and do events in the parks that will pull us to them, make our parks places that people want to be. Further, I propose that city government should help fund this new foundation. Our existing Evansville Parks Foundation, with its small core of volunteers and a single employee working 15 hours a week, can't get the job done. Effective fundraising takes a concentrated effort by a staff dedicated to that cause. It can't be left to fund to volunteers. Brian and Barbara Williams had to spend, 10 years working to get the Swander Ice Rink established. It's too long. It's too frustrating. It's too discouraging. It has to be a concentrated effort by a staff that's paid. And I further propose that the city government help fund it, as we already fund the private efforts for economic development and for downtown renewal. Good parks are a good economic development tool and should be funded as such. Well, I also proposed that we immediately form a Friends of Garland Park group to focus on that historic gem. And as I said before, nothing came of those proposals. So today, I'm going to make an additional proposal. There is an organization, the National Commission for Accreditation of Parks and Recreation Agencies, that will work with cities. It doesn't prepare big park master plans that Evansville periodically spends thousands of dollars for and then ignores, but this agency, CAPRA, works with cities over a multi-year period to help it improve its efficiency in operating with the resources that it has, learn how to do effective long-range planning, and create innovative ways to provide parks and recreation services in a proven business model. I propose that we ask it for help. Four other Indiana cities have already done that. Fort Wayne, South Bend, Indianapolis, and of course Carmel. They all now have bragging rights to fully accredited parks and recreation agencies, services, and along with more than 250 other cities across the country. CAPRA's parent organization, the National Recreation and Parks Association, annually presents gold medal awards to cities that do outstanding jobs. Here are some of the gold medal winners in cities of our size or smaller. It doesn't just take a big city to do these kinds of things. I'm saying this to the Rotary Club because I know you guys care. Steve Bolieber, Brian and Barbara, Jeffrey Berger, so many of you are active in our park system. And this club has a history-long involvement with our parks, dating back even before 1933 when Rotarians built the old monkey boat at the zoo. Do any of you remember that? It wasn't good for the monkeys, but we loved it. More recently, you did the North Woods Trails. You did the boat ramp, the Green River Road boat ramp for Pigeon Creek. And after that, I went with a group of you on a canoe trip down that creek. We had such fun, didn't we? It was just great. And if you tried to organize that trip today, you wouldn't be able to. All the canoes and oars and kayaks were provided by the Wesselman Park Nature Society's Canoe Evansville program, which for years led paddle trips down the creek and on other local waterways for scout groups and garden clubs and people of all ages. And it was just one of the most uniquely fun recreation experiences in this city, and it doesn't exist anymore because during the COVID pandemic, the Nature Center Society ran on hard times and had to set priorities. It had to sell all of that Canoe Evansville pieces to an agency in another city. Now, stay with me because I'm telling this to make a point. In contrast, two other Indiana cities, Fort Wayne and South Bend, have made major investments in recreation on their public waterways. Fort Wayne sits at the confluence of three rivers. Its city parks department has built 29 ramps or other access points on those rivers and a feeder creek with well-marked routes for people to paddle through these great scenic areas and in the town and on the countryside and through historic neighborhoods, and it's wildly popular, and it has sprouted all sorts of new businesses catering to that activity. A unique quality of life amenity that Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry calls a key economic driver. South Bend has done something no other city in this country has done. It has created a 2,000 foot long white water thing that rapids that it's right in the heart of downtown on the St. Joseph River, and it rivals the rapids of the Colorado River. People flock to it. And it's not only a popular recreation activity for the local residents, it's hosting world-class competitions in that sport that bring thousands of people to South Bend. Now, I'm not saying, oh, that's what we need to do in Evansville. I'm saying we need to take our blinders off. We tend to think of recreation as not important and not an essential public service. And that brings me to, I think, a bigger point, our recreation programs. Some of you may know Kyle Merce and his wife, Diana Merce. She's our Vandenberg County prosecutor. Well, Kyle grew up on a small town of about 3,500 people in southern Nevada, where the city parks department sponsored and funded youth sports programs. He said the city did everything. It developed the fields, maintained them, provided the equipment, recruited the coaches. So Kyle was kind of surprised last year when he volunteered to be a t-ball coach at the South Little League baseball program at Van Pollock Park. Surprised because he learned that in Evansville, we don't fund or sponsor youth sports programs. Our city parks department provides the land for them to use, and we give volunteer groups a lease for $1 a year to and then leave it up to them to, I got my list here to say all that they do. Develop the fields, operate the programs, recruit the coaches, maintain the fields, build the concession stands, pay for the bleachers and any other equipment needed, and raise all the money that it takes to do that. It's a challenge for them. Year after year, every one of these leagues has to go out into the community and ask for support and raise the thousands of dollars that it takes. And such a big chunk of that money goes to maintaining and equipping that they don't have enough money left to serve all the kids who want to participate. In our lower income, north side and south side areas, the challenge is monumental. The baseball league that serves, that uses Van Pollock Park, has had to start from scratch this year because the volunteer group that ran it before became disorganized and lost its lace with the city last fall. So Merce and some others have formed the new River City Youth Baseball League with no money to start with. They're determined to provide a baseball program for 125 kids in that low-income neighborhood this summer. Doyle Wilson and his wife, Jo, have been doing that same kind of thing for 25 years for the North Youth Baseball Program at Garvin Park, serving kids in our lowest income neighborhood. These people are heroes. They're heroes. Should they have to plead every year for support from this community? It seems ironic to me that in Evansville we take pride in considering ourselves a great place to live and raise a family, and we provide virtually no public funding for youth sports programs or youth recreation programs of any kind. When I was growing up, and that was a long time ago, but when I was growing up in Evansville, there was this extensive recreation program in cities, in parks throughout the city all summer long. That hasn't existed for decades. Dave Schutte can tell you about the program that he was able to run for about 10 years with a grant that went away, and so it no longer exists. In other cities, it's not like this. Here's one example just from the website of the Fort Wayne. It's one example. One example. Look on the websites of other city parks departments, and you will be blown away by all the recreation programs they offer, not just for kids, but for senior citizens, for people of all ages. And it's not just sports programs. Take it from me, not everybody's athletic. They have programs in dance classes, art classes, drama, after-school programs, summer programs, how to make a quilt, how to raise a garden. Some of these programs are free. Most of them charge a fee, but the fees don't cover the cost. And so the cities find creative ways to come up with the funds. Cedar Rapids, Iowa, population 123,000. Has a summer program in 17 parks, funded as a joint effort by the Parks Department, a community foundation, a Kiwanis Club, and the nonprofit Parks Foundation in that community. It's just one example. There are so many others. Oh, other cities are doing it. So, well, there's a whole lot more I could say, but you won't stay here afternoon to hear it. So you will notice that I've not talked about our city golf courses or their issues, but there is one thing I want to say about that. Both our school corporation and our airport own some vacant, unused former golf course land in areas of this community that don't have parks. Consultants for years have said the city ought to be building parks in those fast-growing areas. And I know there are some people in this audience today who are very interested in seeing that happen. So maybe we could take some creative approaches, maybe using land use leases, joint efforts like other cities do. My point is, Evansville could become one of these cities using really creative approaches to having really great parks and recreation programs. It's possible, really. We just have to stop the complaining and do it. That's it. So.
Thank you so much, Roberta, and I'm sure that we'll have some questions.
How many of you have been up in South Bend lately? It's not just this whitewater rafting deal that makes South Bend a really fantastic-looking place today. Trees everywhere. One of you new members in the introduction said you're interested in trees. Boy, we need more trees in Evansville. Let's start planting.
There's a canoe launching ramp that was organized on the northeast side of Pigeon Creek on First Avenue. And for the last several decades, it's been blocked by all the debris from the Parks Department tossing out all the tree limbs and stumps. And I don't know how it is today. I don't think you can get close to it. And I'm just wondering, you know, that's a canoe launching ramp that is an asset that I don't think you can get to. And I'm just wondering what it would take to get that open. But the Pigeon Creek offers a lot. And it used to be, it was really, really dirty. But anymore, the Pigeon Creek, the Ohio River, all that, over the last couple of decades, I think it's really been cleaned up.
Thank you for liking the creek. It is. I grew up playing on the banks of Little Pigeon Creek.
Hi, Brent Miller Robinson. I just want to take a moment to thank you for meeting with me 3 years ago and giving me some great ideas. And I just want to publicly acknowledge that
Noah.
Very much inspiration to me, and a lot of the ideas that you communicated to me we're putting into action this year and next year. I just want to publicly thank you for that and for being a great source of inspiration and information for me.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Thank you.
You're an inspiration. Thanks. Okay, before we go further, and before I end, I would like to introduce Danielle Crook. She is our Parks and Recreation Director. She's former longtime director at our very successful Swander Ice Rink, and she's been with the department for 18 years, and she knows what she's stepped into, and she has some real ideas, and I think we're going to be hearing a lot from her.
Thank you, Roberta. So just to address that, I am new into the role as of January 1, and there is a lot of work to be done. And we are here today to listen and support Roberta, and I just want to address that, yes, a lot of this is already in motion. We are moving, we are excited, but we're here because, yes, we can always use support. We want our community to back us. We're focusing on safety, we're focusing on accessibility, we're focusing on connectivity and activation, all of which speak to some of the things that Roberta had to say today. So please, if you see something, reach out. I'm very much boots on the ground, so is our department. We have fantastic support from administration, and I'm looking forward for you all to see some real improvement in our parks. So please stay tuned, keep supporting, and bring the questions and the feedback. We want to hear it.
Hi, thanks for having us. I'm Sarah Dower. I'm the Corporation Counsel for the City of Evansville, newly hired for that job. However, I spent 10 years on the Board of Parks Commissioners, working with Danielle and sharing a seat next to Roberta. And to some of these questions, the information is available. It is out there on the websites. There is a Board of Parks Commissioners. They meet twice a month. They hold public meetings. They will hear you if you come and speak to them. And certainly Danielle is available to meet and hear your ideas as well. Everyone in this administration is excited about parks and quality of life in this town, and we want to collaborate and work together on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. It's so nice to have a call to action and a place to take our interest.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Roberta.
Thank you for joining us for this week's program. I'm Jay Zimmer. From all of us at Midwest Communications Evansville, make it a great week.